Welcome to this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. I'm Trista Polo from iwokeupawesome.com, and I am your host. Each week, we learn the story behind that vanity plate. The one you saw driving down the road? What did it say? What did it mean? Why did they choose it? This week, we meet Paul Orlandi of Mayfield Heights, Ohio. Paul is a cosmetologist who does it all, but particularly loves color and extensions. We talk about hair, of course, and so much more. What did Paul do when his salon was closed? Any post-quarantine hair stories? What's it like to have a pet rat? Answers to these questions and more. Now let's go meet Paul, the hair guy. Welcome to Trista's Plate Story Podcast. I'm very excited to have this week's guest, Paul Orlandi from Cleveland area, Ohio. And his license plate is Hair Guy. Welcome, Paul.
Hello, thank you.
So tell me the story behind your plate. Why did you choose Hair Guy?
Well, I do hair and I'm a guy. So the last, it's probably been, I don't know, maybe 12 years, give or take, I've had personalized plates. And whenever I get a new car, I try to change it up a little bit. So this is my current one, is Hair Guy. I just might keep it. I don't know. We'll see.
Now, it's not your first plate, so what are some other license plates that you've had that were personalized?
The one I had before this said smooth, and it was referring to hair being smooth and shiny, but I had it for about a year, and I thought, I don't think people really get that I'm talking about hair.
Did you ever get any questions about that one?
No, but after a while, I kind of thought that maybe it sounded a little pretentious, so I'm like, maybe that's not the right plate for me.
Like you were describing yourself.
Exactly. I wanted smooth with three O's, but somebody already had that one. Before that, I had I Die For You. I, D-U-I-E, the number four, and the letter U, because, again, coloring hair.
Yep.
And the one before that, which was my first plate, it was I Die Hair. I-D-Y-H-A-A-R. So, like I said, each time I get another car, I change it.
That's awesome. So they've always sort of hearkened to what you do for a living as a cosmetologist, which is very cool. Now, as a cosmetologist, you focus mostly on hair. What do you do most?
I specialize mostly in hair extensions. That's the biggest part of my business. And then after that, I would say hair coloring. But I do everything. I do cuts. I do blow dries. I do men, women.
Awesome.
I'm pretty versatile. I mean, I have clients that range from about 3 years old to, I think my oldest client is 97.
Wow.
So I have a very diverse clientele, which is great because I never go into work having the same day twice.
That's very cool. Now, you said that you mostly do hair extensions. Tell me a little about that.
Well, I find the biggest thing that I like about what I do is the transformation. And that's one of the biggest transformations I can do kind of in the shortest period of time. I mean, you could walk in with, you know, hair to here and walk out with hair to here in just a few hours. You can't grow that fast. Or I get a lot of people who like the crazy fantasy colors. What I can do with the hair extensions is I can put those colors in your hair, and 2 or 3 weeks later, when you're sick of having pink hair, rather than trying to get that pink out of your hair and then put blue in, you just take out the pink extensions and put the blue extensions in.
Oh, wow. Same
thing with little kids or teenagers who want funky colors in their hair, and mom doesn't want to pay the price of, you know, stripping out all your hair, putting this color in your hair. And the bad thing about doing that with hair color is after a couple of shampoos, it looks kind of faded and yucky. The extensions, the color stays the same color as long as possible. So, you know, the kid gets their funky color. Mom's happy because I didn't have to damage any hair. And yeah, 2 or 3 weeks later when someone decides, I don't want these purple streaks in my hair anymore, I just come in a couple of minutes, boom, boom, I pop them out and you're back to normal.
That's awesome. So who would be a good candidate for hair extensions?
First thing is when you say hair extensions, everyone thinks about, you know, long flowing hair. It's not always that. Sometimes it's just fullness. Sometimes people have sides that are just thin and wispy and just will never grow no matter what they do. Put some in that side just to fill things in a little bit. Weddings is a perfect example. Most women want to grow their hair out for their wedding so they can have this long hair, wear it up in this really cool style. We can do something temporary. to get you through the day and maybe your honeymoon, and maybe you don't want them after that. And maybe you do. That there's so many different options, but definitely weddings, filling in thin spots, people who maybe just want a little bit of an accent piece, but really don't want to get into the whole chemical upkeep of it all. So many different ways and reasons that you can do it. It's almost unlimited. And pretty much anybody can be a candidate. You know, I even have a couple of men who have them done just because, you know, again, they wear their hair a little bit longer. They're getting a little bit older. It's starting to thin out. We can kind of fill that in a little bit.
Wow. And like you said, upkeep is certainly important. Any advice you can give about what to be aware of?
It's definitely more maintenance than your own hair. You have to take care of them. It's not just come in, I put them in, I'll see you in 6 months. I mean, you've got to brush them. You have to take care of them. It's, again, like you said, something foreign in your hair. You need to take care of it and maintain it. Or if you don't want to, you need to come in for me to maintain it.
Mm.
I have a woman who wanted extensions. And when I told her the whole process and what she needed to do to take care of them is, you know, she said, I don't want to do all that. I said, well, then you come in and I'll do it. She comes in every week. Blow out her hair, make sure nothing's matted, make sure nothing gets tangled, and she's perfectly fine doing it that way. So,
like when my grandmothers would go to the beauty parlor every week to get their hair done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big investment, so it's not something you want to take lightly. You don't want to dump a couple, you know, could be a couple $1,000 or a couple $100 on your hair, and then, you know, 6 weeks later come back with this big matted mess on your head. I mean, it's a big investment. You want to take care of it the right way.
Yeah, for sure. You guys were probably closed for a while from the COVID stuff, yes?
Yes, we were closed for about 2 months.
Yeah. So what did you do while you were off? What does a hair extension expert do when he's forced to stay home?
He goes and works in the Amazon warehouse.
Oh, okay.
That's what he does.
That was not the answer I was expecting.
I just knew that there was no way I was going to be able to stay home for who knows how long and stay married.
Mm.
I was going to have to get out of the house and do something just for everybody's own sanity, you know, and I needed something to do during the day. Well, actually, I work nights, so something to do at night. It was a good experience. It was interesting to see how things work on that end of Amazon. It was very interesting to see how things work and a good experience, but definitely glad to be back where I belong.
Now, I have to ask you, there are so many articles and things where people talk about how terrible it is to work in an Amazon warehouse. What was your experience? Tell us a little more about that.
It was great. And that's one of the first things people asked me when I got back to work. Like, what'd you do for 2 months?
Yeah.
And I tell them that, and they go, oh, was it awful? It was perfectly fine. It was great. Now, maybe it depends on what department you're working in. Maybe it depends what location you're in. But basically, I went in, did my work, went home. I don't think I talked to a single person for 6 weeks. It was nice.
Wow.
It was great. I felt like I was treated well. I was paid well for what I did. It was, I'd go back if I needed to. If we closed down again, I actually thought about sticking around there part-time just for, number one, extra money, and number two, just in case we get closed down again, keep my foot in the door, but their part-time options didn't work with what I have to do, so I left. But if something ever happened and I needed to go back to work, I would definitely go back. I had a good experience there. I don't know, like I said, I can't speak for other people, maybe in other departments or other locations, but what I did and where I was perfectly happy with it all.
That's great. You know, it really all comes down to the people. As you said, you're not working with an entity, you're working with people. So it's great that you were able to find something that wasn't going to negatively impact your marital situation.
Right, because I just knew, you know, there'd be that list of things for me to do. Well, as long as you're home all day, get this done. And I know my wife would come home and be like, what'd you do all day? I'd be like, nothing.
Crocheting.
So I knew I needed to have something to do for at least, you know, 40 hours a week. So
now that you're back to work, what do you have to wear when you're at work?
Well, the first very nice thing is, like I said, we work in individual suites. So I'm just one-on-one with my client. Everything happens in that room except for the bathroom. So when they come to visit me, they're in there from start to finish. Which is great, because then you're not interacting with other people. There's not other people walking by you or talking to you or interacting with anybody that way. one of the biggest things that has been changed is I can only do one person at a time, where previously, you know, if you're getting your hair colored while your color's sitting on, maybe I can do a haircut. And then when I'm done with that haircut, your color's ready to come off. I can't do that anymore. So I have to do one person at a time, which on one hand is kind of nice because at the end of the day, I'm not exhausted by doing person after person after person. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it's like I really have to reconfigure the way I schedule people and how many people I can do in a day and how long people have to wait for their next appointment. Definitely, we're taking the precautions as far as wearing masks when our clients are in the salon with us. After each person leaves, you know, we're making sure we're following sanitizing rules, wiping down the chair, the sink, making sure everything is nice and clean for the next person who comes in, which is something that, you know, we're supposed to be doing anyway, but it's kind of nice to have the extra time between people to make sure you're not rushing through it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So tell me what kinds of stuff you saw coming back in. What are some memorable post-quarantine stories you can share?
Well, let's see, the one that sticks out. Everybody was very good about, you know, behaving themselves with their hair, except I did have one client slash friend who did color her own hair while she was on quarantine and tried to lie to me about it.
It was a lot of people were self-coloring while they were away. Yeah.
Well, she comes every 4 weeks. So she was due to come in, I think, the week we closed. And then I think she came in a week or two after we reopened. So she was a good 3 months overdue.
Yeah.
So when she came in, we talked for a minute. And I said, so, you know, now what did you put on your hair? And she's like, nothing. I'm like, well, what's on your hair right now? Nothing on my hair. Okay, well, it's been, you know, 3 months and you have this little white line, this big orange stripe that I don't know what that is, and then the red hair that I did. What's this orange stuff? Oh, that. I had to put something on it. It was really white. I'm like, well, what is it? I mean, before I put color on, I got to know what this is. And she's like, oh, I don't know, just color. I'm like, did you get it at the dollar store? I mean, before I put my stuff on, your hair melts off your head. I need to know what it is. Oh, that could happen. Could, I don't know, what is it? So that's probably one of the funniest stories I can think of. I mean, did you think I wasn't going to notice the big orange stripe on your head?
Right. It's like going to your doctor and lying about what medication you're on when you're about to go into surgery. Like, you should tell them for your own good. They're not going to judge you.
Exactly. I always say your doctor, your lawyer, and your hairdresser, you never want to lie to, because the end result is horrible.
And it could create really dastardly results, for sure.
Exactly. In any of those situations.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. Now, you're more than a cosmetologist. You are also a dad and a husband. You're a pet lover as well. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. What do you love to do when you're not working?
All right. Well, when I'm not work, if I'm not at work and I'm not at home, I'm at the gym. So those are the three places you can find me. If I'm not in one of those three places, call the police. I must be new. So, yeah, definitely, you know, spending time with my family is a very important and fun thing for me. I have four kids, so they're older now, but they still keep us pretty busy. Just this past holiday weekend, I spent the night with, I call them my grandimals. My oldest has an African gray parrot, a chihuahua, and a rabbit. So they wanted to spend the night at a friend's house for the weekend. The bird, she's got her own little attitude, her own her own thing she likes to do. She's starting to talk a little bit. She's almost two, so she starts to say things. The big adventure of the weekend was trying to get the bird in her cage to go to bed. It took a good hour of, I don't want to say chasing her around the apartment, but basically following her from one part of the apartment to the other, till I finally got her into the bedroom and finally into the cage. I don't know which one of us was more worn out after that experience, but it was fun. I really like to go over there and visit them, and they get very excited to see me. At least they act like they do.
Yeah, of course they do. It sounds like you may as well have been taking care of a human two-year-old, like a toddler.
I know, right?
Yes, that's great. I'm an animal person myself. I currently have a dog and a cat, but I've had lizards in the past, plenty of fish. Wow. A parakeet way, way back when.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, definitely enjoy having animals around, for sure.
Yeah. My oldest, we call it the zoo, also had two rats for a while.
Oh.
And never in my life would I have thought I would have gotten attached to two rats. They were the smartest, funniest, just most amazing animals ever. It was very difficult when they died. So,
I'm sorry, I have to pull at this thread a little more, because the only rat experience I've had that was positive was the movie Ratatouille. And that disturbed me a lot, that you had all these rats in the kitchen cooking these big meals for all these people. So tell us, I guess my question is, sell me on having a rat as a loved one.
When they wanted to get these rats, I'm like, okay, whatever. But they are brothers. They came from the same litter. Cyril and Pietro were their names. And as brothers, they couldn't have been more different, probably just like real brothers are.
Sure.
But just amazing to see the things that they could learn. And, they knew their names. When I would go over to visit them, they would hear me and they'd come out, because they knew as soon as I got there, they would get a banana chip. It was just amazing to see the things that they knew and the things that they could do. And they used a litter box. Who knew rats could use a litter box? The stuff in the litter box didn't always stay in the litter box, but it started there. but they were just amazing little creatures. I mean, just like, I said, never in a million years would I have thought I would have gotten attached to a few little rats.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they're probably similar to guinea pigs, right? People have those as pets.
The right person, the right place. They're perfect.
Yeah.
They were fun and they were great little guys. So
that's awesome. And then you said that you are at the gym if you're not at home or at work. Now, you had done a competition for fitness at one point. Can you tell me a little about that?
Yeah, I did it last October. Probably, let me think, back in fall of 18, I wanted to find a trainer, because I could always either work out really well or I could eat really well, but I could never put the two together. So I reached out to somebody that I followed on Instagram and got to talking, and I'm like, I want to look like I could be in a competition, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And the more we kind of worked together and talked about things, and he's a competitive bodybuilder himself, it just kind of evolved into, oh, why not? It could be fun. And I'm glad I did it. It was a really fun experience. I didn't do it for any other reason than to just have the experience of doing it. And I ended up coming in fourth place, which was like, oh, okay.
That's awesome. Okay.
So now the bad thing is, I'm going to do another competition this fall. Well, now I feel like, okay, now I want something more than that. Now I'm doing it to win something. So I feel a little bit more stressed, but I know it's going to be a fun experience no matter how it ends up.
You have something to prove now, because you were fourth place without wanting it. So now you can put all this expectation but I think that'll probably push you toward your goals. There's a saying, I've heard it two ways. Shoot for the moon, and even if you miss, you'll land among the stars.
Yes.
So definitely having a goal of maybe even matching or beating your last, if you shoot for first place, then maybe you'll get first, but maybe you'll get second, and that would still be really amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it was, I'm glad I did it, because it was a great experience, and that's really what I wanted out of it, just to say I did that. And the biggest thing I tell people I took away from this is that nothing scares me anymore. I stood in my underwear in front of 1,000 people and was judged for it. I can do anything now.
Wow. And that fourth place in your underwear in front of 1,000
people. Exactly. So, nothing scares me now. So.
Awesome. So that's certainly something that you've learned about yourself, is that you can do that. What else did you learn about yourself when you're going through the process of getting prepared for a competition? Because that's not the same as going to the gym to keep your heart healthy.
No, it's definitely not. I definitely learned more about myself than I probably ever would have. I didn't realize how much discipline I had. I didn't realize how much commitment I had until, I was kind of faced with the, okay, if you're going to do this, here's what we got to do. It's never too late to start something like this. So
yeah.
You may not That's get on a stage, but you can still get yourself healthy and definitely change your life and your outlook on things.
I love that. I love that it's never too late. I love that you can get healthy in your 40s Yeah. That's just going to have you create a much better twilight of your life.
Exactly. And that's the big goal, you know, between my wife and I, you know, both of our parents, definitely from a different generation, you know, didn't have the healthiest of lifestyles. And at this point now in their lives, you know, my father's gone, her mother's gone. Both of our parents that are still alive, you know, aren't doing well, you know, they're in assisted living facilities. And, you know, who's to say we may not end up like that, because genetics are going to do what they're going to do, but I'm going to try to fight it as much as I can. And there's my motivation to keep myself healthy and stay as active as I can for as long as I can. So hopefully when I'm 70, 80, 90 years old, I may not be up on the stage anymore, but I hope that we can both live independent lives and enjoy ourselves at that point in our lives. Absolutely. Or at least, you know, I can at least say it's not like I didn't try.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. It's good advice. So you said that you did competitions. Did you do other things with your diet as well as a workout plan?
Yeah, and that was very challenging for my trainer. I had tried to hook up with other trainers in the past, and they were always like, oh yeah, we can definitely do this, we can do that, we can do this, blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as we would get to the part where I'd say, you know, I don't eat meat, then they'd be like, oh, well, this won't work, you can't do that, you need this, you need that. And I'm like, well, I know I don't, but okay.
So are you vegan, vegetarian, plant-based?
I'm vegan as much as I can be, but I'm always vegetarian. I'm the only one in the family who eats this way, so I try not to make it difficult for everybody else.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, like I said, I'm a picky enough eater before I started eating this way, so I don't need to make it any more difficult for my wife. But when I found this trainer, you know, he was, again, all gung-ho with everything, or the trainer I had before, he was all gung-ho for everything, and then I said, okay, now here's for the part where you get up and leave. I'm like, you know, I don't eat meat. And he's like, all right, well, I'll try. So I'm like, okay, good. Someone will try. Yep. Together, you know, to figure out what we can do. And, you know, he would always apologize that my meal plan was very boring. I'm like, it doesn't have to be exciting. I don't care. Just tell me what to eat. I don't care if I have to eat the same thing. The more boring it is, the easier it is for me. So I think that was a big challenge, you know, for him, because it was something he'd never done before. But, you know, I know it'd be easier if I would just eat, you know, chicken and rice all the time. But
right. Well, so, do you eat eggs?
No. I don't eat eggs, no.
Because okay. That's another big protein source for people who are working out and competing, I think.
Yeah, I was actually able to find online a vegan egg white substitute that had the same nutritional information as regular egg whites did. So whenever he would say eat egg whites, I would just use that instead. So,
oh, okay. Yeah.
Probably 90% of my diet was egg whites. But that was easy to change up with, you know, throwing some veggies in there or some different spices. So it's like, it doesn't have to be exciting. It just has to be easy. I'm not good at meal prep. And yeah, so if you look at my regular Instagram, not my hair Instagram, I'm always featuring. I did find somebody through my trainer who does meal prep. So I buy food from her every week. And then I get annoying because I feature my food on there almost every day. with a picture of my grand dog who lives with me. He's always in the pictures as well. So, you know, she was very much able to accommodate my, you know, plant-based diet and be able to make whatever meals she makes for the week and just incorporate a plant-based version for me. And then my wife gets the regular version. And that makes it amazingly easy to, I don't have to think about what to eat. You know, I grab a couple of them, I throw them in my refrigerator at work. So when I have time, I've got something to eat when I'm there. When I'm at home, I really don't have to think about it. I just grab one of them out of the fridge and I eat it. And it makes my eating, keeps me on track with things. And then also, you know, I've got a healthy option as well. So,
yes, yeah. That's awesome. Well, I've really enjoyed getting to know you and all of the depth behind your license plate hair guy. I like to turn the tables at the end just to give you an opportunity to ask me a question before we wrap up. So do you have a question for me?
What do you do in your spare time? What are your, you know, outside of work activities? What keeps you busy? What are your hobbies?
I did improv for about 5 years, which I loved. I still consider myself an improv actor, even though I'm not doing it currently. And this podcast is a labor of love. I usually would say hanging out with my friends and family, but I've definitely been socially distant, quarantining. I feel like I should be more interesting and more layered. but that's my answer.
That's a good answer to me.
Okay, good. So any last words that you'd like to share about yourself or anything that you're passionate about before we wrap up?
I don't know. Come see me to get your hair done.
Great.
If you don't want to come get your hair done with me, meet me at the gym.
Oh, awesome. Perfect. There we go. Well, Paul, it's been great having you on Trista's Plate Story podcast. I want to thank you so much for being with us and sharing your plate story and everything else about you, even beyond.
Well, thank you for reaching out to me. It's been interesting. I've never done something like this before. So this is it was a nice experience for me as well.
Great. I'm so glad to hear that. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
All right. You too. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story podcast. Please subscribe to Trista's Plate Story podcast to get the story behind all those vanity plates driving with you on the road. And if you would like to nominate the owner of a license plate, including you, or visit any of our partners and sponsors, come and see us at platestory.com. That's PL8story.com, and give us the details. If you enjoyed this episode, please drop a review and give us a share. I'm Trista Polo, wishing you well on the road to your next adventure.